Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, well, a profoundly interesting day, an emotional day, for a number of reasons. Some of that being anger and rage and frustration. Some of it just being profound sadness. And I am not sitting in the office of my dear friend, Ann Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy Graham. And a couple of reasons there. Because I'm in Facebook jail, so we'll talk about that. And then, of course, the passing of Rush Limbaugh earlier today, which has left me with a profound sense of sadness as somebody that's been myself in broadcasting and radio since 2007. I started listening to Rush Limbaugh. I think he went live in 1988, and 33 years. He would have been hitting 33 years this year. And I think I started listening around 1994, 95, somewhere in there. And then I ended up on the radio myself in 2007. So I want to talk about that today. But Ann Graham Lotz, we will be doing the show together. It'll be next Wednesday. So 1 week from today, February 24th, we'll be live at Ann Graham Lotz's office at Angel Studios, which is Angel Ministries, which is here in Raleigh. So that's still happening. Never fear. We will do that. So just trusting the Lord with his timing, he's behind everything, pulling levers and doing what he will. And we trust that and believe in that and just leave that in his hands. The reason we had to move it, and then I want to talk about Rush Limbaugh, and then I've got a buddy who's been in radio for decades. He's going to call in after the bottom of the hour break, so a little after 4:30 Eastern time. And he had a chance to sit in and host Rush Limbaugh for 3 hours during, I think Rush had to do one of his shows at my buddy's studio, Fred Zelenko, who's been in radio for decades, as I said. So that's a really interesting and personal experience for him with Rush. So I want to talk about that and share some things there. But with Ann today, we were going to be live in her office. We were going to be doing Facebook Live. And then last night at about 6:30, I discovered that I finally ended up in Facebook jail. So I'm in Facebook jail for 24 hours. Okay, can't post. I can look at my pages. I can see what I can follow links if people are posting whatever they're posting. I can look at that, but I can't like, I can't unlike, I can't comment, I can't do anything. I can't post, can't put Facebook Live up today, so we're not on Facebook Live. We are, however, on YouTube Live. So if you go to that, we just started posting to that page, the Steve Noble Show page on YouTube. So you can go there and join us if you want to be right here in the studio. And for those of you on radio, which praise the Lord for radio, on YouTube Live, Facebook Live on the video side. So when you hear commercial breaks, which we have to do, that's the way radio works, then we continue the conversation right here in the studio, kind of hit the pause button and then have a sidebar conversation during the commercial break. So found out last evening that I was on Facebook in Facebook jail and then going, okay, why? I mean, I'm really, quite frankly, surprised that it took this long for them to get to me. But I'm a small fish relative to the big fish and the big giant platform people out there who have been struggling with Facebook and YouTube, by the way, for a few years, but obviously it's totally been ramped up with deplatforming President Trump and all that kind of stuff. So I've been wondering when they would get down to the little fish like me. It's a little sooner than I expected. But I was curious, okay, what did I do to earn this honor of being shut down for 24 hours? I think they start with 24 hours, and then if you continue to not comply, whatever that means, then they move you to probably 7 days, and then after that, they probably move you to 30 days, and then if they so wish, they just kick you off. So we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen. I count it an honor that this is going on, so praise the Lord for that. But I looked it up, and so first they said one of the things was hate speech, and that was from a post I did back on December 10th where I linked to a story here in Raleigh. A homeowner association tells Raleigh homeowner to remove the cross from the Christmas display. And so I wrote a post about that ridiculousness. And it started with this. You dumb Christians, why do you think the cross has anything to do with the birth of Jesus? We just need the nativity, the fat man in red, and a few other things to properly celebrate Christmas. Oh, wait. Why was Jesus born? Why did he come to earth? Why is Christmas even significant? Because a nice Jewish carpenter spent 3 years telling some great stories, did some amazing things, and delivered incredible moral teaching? No. The only reason Christmas is significant is because that Jewish carpenter ended up on a cross to pay the sin penalty for mankind, thereby making it possible to be reconciled to God. Without the cross, the world would not be celebrating this month. Jesus wasn't born for Christmas. He was born for Easter, and at the center of them both, the cross. Now, for some reason, Facebook deemed that hate speech. Whatever. And then the other thing that I saw, the first time I noticed last night that I was in Facebook jail, they had a picture of a post. And I'm like, well, that looks kind of familiar. Remember when they ISIS paraded all those Christians they had captured in orange jumpsuits, and they paraded them down along the beach, and they lined them all up, and a bunch of the ISIS guys in black. They did this a couple times. They beheaded them. They cut their throats, all that kind of stuff. So there was a story. This was now, this goes all the way back to March 17th, 2016. So now they want to ban me in February of 2021 for something that happened in March of 2016, back 5 years. What's that all about? I guess you just need to make your case, right? So I posted a story from Fox News. Kerry determines, John Kerry, his Secretary of State at the time, determines ISIS committing genocide in Iraq and Syria. All I said was, finally, he admits it's genocidal, but not ready to say it's Islamic. So that's a problem. Why? Because it's the truth. And Facebook has a problem with any version of truth that's not their version of truth. So because we were going to lose the Facebook Live audience, that's we have about 102,000 people on our Facebook page. Obviously, they don't all watch the Facebook Live video. But on Ann Graham Lotz's page, there's over 700,000 people. So we want as many people to be blessed by Ann Graham Lotz as possible. So I'm like, well, maybe we can host it through Ann's page on Facebook. And that didn't work out today. So instead of missing out on reaching more people, we just punt for a week because we want to reach more people, because it'll be awesome to have Ann. It's the first time I did Facebook Live. It was with Ann Graham Lotz. And she's been a friend for years and obviously an amazing woman of God. And I want as many people to be blessed by that as possible. So we punt it to next Wednesday. Right now, I'm just on YouTube Live. But we're going to post that on Facebook, this show on Facebook, as soon as they allow us back into their kingdom sometime this evening. So things are real. Censorship is real. Targeting is real. And we should count it all blessings, right? It's an honor. And just like when John and Peter were dragged in front of the Sanhedrin and they said, hey, listen, you know what? You do what you got to do. We're going to do what we got to do. And we can't help speak about that which we have seen and heard. We can't help but speak the truth. And I'm going to do that on the radio, on Facebook Live, on YouTube Live, via podcast, for as long as the Lord gives me breath, or till he shuts me up or takes me home. So I don't care what Facebook or any of these guys do. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Mark. I don't care what you do, because you can't stop the King of the universe, and I'm on his side. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Again, we'll be live with Ann Graham Lotz at Angel Ministries next Wednesday. Got thrown into Facebook jail for 24 hours for no good reason, but they're going to work their way down and get to the smaller fish. And if you speak the truth, especially a conservative biblical truth, they have no room for you. So get used to it. This is just the way it goes. But count it all blessing, right? When you receive any kind of shame, any kind of dishonor, as the scripture talks about, count it all blessing. You know, be happy about that. And we'll keep fighting back and we'll keep talking, and they'll do what they got to do and we'll do what we got to do. And that's just the deal. All right. And a good friend with Truth Radio, Russ out west, said, when I was texting people, I put out an email just to let people know what was going on today. He said, congrats. And then he quoted this: and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I do not consider this suffering, by the way. This is in the grand scheme of things, this isn't suffering. Okay. It's just part of the battle. And get used to it. I know it's frustrating. I know it's maddening and it's angering. I get all that. I feel all that. But it's part of the deal. And if you're the recipient of it, because you're speaking the truth, especially if your truth is bathed in the Word of God, as we try to do on this show, then touchdown, awesome. Hey, Facebook, glad you noticed. And you can't shut me up. So good luck with that. All right. So talking about Rush Limbaugh, profoundly sad earlier today to hear about that, because I was texting with Steve Dace earlier, and you'll hear this, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, you'll hear everybody, but Glenn Beck, all profoundly sad, because you could really make a case that if it weren't for Rush Limbaugh, none of us would have a job, because he basically, not only did he save AM radio, he might have saved FM radio too, as podcasting and the digital world came alive, But Rush Limbaugh, all the way back to 1988, really gave birth to conservative talk radio. Conservative talk radio has worked. It makes money. It makes a ton of money for those types of guys. But it opened the door for a lot of people. And I started listening to Rush Limbaugh probably in about 1993, 1994. I lived in Columbus, Ohio. And I was out in my car all the time working in a student house painting company. And I ran multiple markets. So I was out in my car every day. And I started listening. I did not know. God knew, but I didn't know that I was being trained for radio, which wouldn't come along for me personally until 2007. So that had a profound impact on me, not only broadcasting, which I didn't figure out till later, but just in understanding politics and liberty and freedom and the American form of governance and our founding fathers and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and how to apply all those guiding principles to the political news of the day. And so it was remarkably educational. Then, of course, about a year ago when he announced he had cancer, stage 3 or 4. Nobody even expected him to live into the fall, but he did. And he was actually on Fox and Friends. So of all the things, I was just saying this on the break, and you can catch us by video if you go to YouTube Live. We're not on Facebook Live today because Facebook jail, but we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be with Ann Graham Lotz next Wednesday. But of all the things Rush Limbaugh said and all the things that he taught and all the amazing stuff that he did over almost 33 years of broadcasting, 3 hours a day with almost no guests, in callers, but not all the time. The thing that he said that had the only thing he said that had eternal impact is what he said back in like October. This was on the show. Quote, "I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." By the way, friends, a cultural Christian doesn't say that. A cultural Christian doesn't mention Jesus Christ by name, and they certainly don't say a personal relationship. That is somebody who's been reached with the gospel and understands that believing in God and Jesus did some good stuff isn't enough. Even the demons believe and shudder. At least they shudder. But most people in America, hey, are you a Christian? Yeah. No, based on what? Well, you know, I believe in God. I try to do the right thing. What else? What else? What else you got for me? What about Jesus? Oh, yeah, he was awesome. What about the Bible? Oh, you know, there's some good stuff in there, and I try to read it when I can. What about church? Oh, man. Christmas, Easter, I love it. I try to go when I can. So if you died today, do you think you'd go to heaven? I'm telling you, just do this. You're going to find most people are going to be like, well, I hope so, or I think so. No, the Bible says you can know so. These things were written so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so people that are cultural Christians don't talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what Rush said. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is of immense value, strength, confidence, and that's why I'm able to remain fully committed to the idea that what is supposed to happen will happen when it's meant to. He said that on the air. Then, I didn't hear this. This was him on Fox and Friends. Let's tee this up, Seth. This was him on Fox and Friends on Election Day, November 3rd, 2020, just a few months ago, where he had a chance to speak about his faith once again. Let's play it.
I think that the way I look at it is life is the most precious thing we have, and it's probably the thing that most people just take for granted. We're busy. We don't even take time to consciously think of our lives because we're too busy living them. But I really appreciate mine now, I have to tell you, and I always have, but we all only get one. And we all have the opportunity starting out to make the most of it or whatever we want it to be. And we get a do-over every day. If we screw up one day, we get a chance to fix it the next day. And so, and we're Americans, which means we have the freedom to invest in whatever it is that makes us happy. That's in our founding documents. And so in my case, I'm grateful that I have been able to make it to Election Day. I'm grateful that I am still able to do my radio show. I'm grateful that I am still able to have meaningful conversation relationships with my family. I'm grateful for everything that happened. There's so much to be thankful for, especially when right in front of you is the prospect of it being taken away. And it just amps up the appreciation for all of the goodness that you have in your life. And for all the, you know, we all have rotten things happen to us, and we all have unfortunate things. But I tell you, one thing I've learned is that there's good in everything that happens. It may not present itself for weeks, months, whatever, but there's good in everything that happens if you look for it. And
Even in an election that doesn't go in your favor?
Yeah, yeah. And I actually believe that you mentioned God. God is a profound factor. Jesus Christ, a profound factor. I have a personal relationship. I've not talked about it much publicly because I don't proselytize these things. But,
And there you go. Yeah, go ahead and cut it. I don't know if that was going out on radio. Was that feeding through to radio, Seth? Because I had some people texting me saying they weren't hearing that. So you need to check on that. If we have to, we'll play it again. That was Rush Limbaugh just on November 3rd. And if it didn't go through on radio, we might have just gotten cut off. We'll figure that out. It's just one of those days. God's on the throne, so I'm not worried about it. We'll come back. And if that didn't go through, and it looks like it didn't, we'll play it again. But talking about again, you know, even on Election Day, you know, the Fox and Friends host, hey, can you be all grateful even on Election Day if the election doesn't go your way? And that's when he came back around to talk about God and then his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So that was when I heard that in October on his show. But when I heard that, just that's the first time I've heard this clip today. And if we missed it, we'll play it again on the other side of the break. That was really encouraging to me because I'm like, yeah, you know what? I met Rush Limbaugh once. Went to go see him. He was playing golf here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And he came up to, there's like 10 or 11 of us. And had a golf ball. He signed that. He had just a couple of comments. Super nice. But never had a chance to meet him beyond that. But I will. And I'll have all eternity to pick the guy's brain. And politics won't matter by then, which is really cool. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about the death of a legend, Rush Limbaugh. Praise the Lord. Went to be with the Lord earlier today, and we were going to be with Ann Graham Lotz in her office at Angel Ministries, but being in Facebook jail today, we didn't want to cut out the Facebook Live audience. We are now on YouTube Live, which is great, so you can go to the Steve Noble Show page at YouTube and watch the video there. Maybe you just blew off Facebook, maybe you're one of the many that have just said bye-bye-bye to Facebook. But we're in Facebook jail for ridiculous reasons. And they referenced a post from December 10th. And they referenced a post from like 5 years ago. It's ridiculous. So the censorship, the controlling of the narrative, all of that's real. And it's getting worse in this tech oligarchy that we live in between mainstream liberal media, big tech, Facebook, Twitter, those guys, and Washington, D.C. It's essentially an oligarchy. An oligarchy is a form of government where the whole system is controlled by a very small, very powerful group of people. You may think you live in a representative republic. Not so much. Not anymore. And as my friend Steve Dace said on the air maybe a month or so ago, he said, we no longer live in a nation of laws. We live in a nation of political will. And people like Zuckerberg and Dorsey and Facebook and Twitter and all those guys, as well as the left media and many in Washington, D.C., have the political will to, in your face, shut you down. Well, welcome to a 2,000-year-old tradition. That's the deal for us as Christ followers, and so we continue to speak the truth, just like Peter and John said to the Sanhedrin, you guys do what you got to do, we'll do what we got to do. We can't help but speak about that which we have seen and heard, and I'll continue to do that. And I know my buddy Fred Zolanko has been doing that for years. He's the executive director of Family Vision Media, familyvisionmedia.org. Fred, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Well, I'm okay. A little frustrated on the Facebook side and stuff. And then just a profound sense of sadness. I mean, I knew I was going to be sad once Rush Limbaugh went to be with the Lord. But I was struck this morning once I heard about it, about how profoundly sad I am, because it's, for those of us in broadcasting, man, it's really immeasurable. I told some friends earlier today, I simply cannot quantify the impact that Rush Limbaugh had on me, not only as a thinker and as a conservative, but even more so as a broadcaster. But and I know you had a chance to spend some time with him, but what's been your reaction to this with Rush Limbaugh? And how long, Fred, just so everybody knows, how long have you been in radio?
1979.
Okay, so you even predate Rush Limbaugh being on the radio, so that's a long time. But
yeah, and he came into, I worked at Camel X Radio for 20 years combined, but 17 years on the programming side, and in Camel X in St. Louis is the behemoth radio station. It's 50,000 watts, carries Cardinal baseball, reaches 44 states at night, Canada and Mexico.
Wow.
And Rush Limbaugh was on a competing radio station in the early 90s, and we had a longtime general manager, Robert Hyland. Once he passed in 1992, because we were always live and local. with local talent and so on. But when he passed in 1992, CBS, which owned the radio station, brought in Rod Zimmerman and Tom Langmeyer. Rod was the general manager and Tom Langmeyer was the program director. And they decided to get Rush Limbaugh on KMOX, which was a nationally syndicated program. And so as part of that arrangement to get him on the air, they invited him to town and said, we want you to originate your nationally syndicated show from the studios of KMOX at least once. And so he came to town shortly after they signed him. And he came to town and did his program from KMOX Studios. And Tom Langmeyer, the program director, came to me a few days before the broadcast, and he said, you know, Rush is going to be here in a couple of days, and I want you to run his control board. I said, oh, that sounds great.
And no pressure.
I got introduced to Rush Limbaugh by Tom Langmeyer before all the station hierarchy and the sales staff and the potential sponsors came in to meet with him and get the picture taken and all the glad handing that goes on when you have a celebrity in the studio. And I just sat in the back of the studio and watched this all happen. And then a few minutes before his broadcast, they all left. And I got in behind the control board, and I started setting up for the program. And he said, you know, Fred, I'm sure you're very good at what you do, but I like to run my own control board, if you don't mind. I said, oh, that's not a problem. And so I showed him how to get the callers on the air, how to turn his microphone on, how to hit the button that plays the commercials, and all that good stuff. And then I started to leave the studio, and he said, no. He yelled at me. He said, don't leave. He said, pull that chair up and sit right here, right at my right elbow. And he said, if I start to mess anything up on the board, jump up and fix it. I said, okay.
And what year was this, Fred?
This was 1993.
Oh, yeah. So 5 years in, and he was already, you know, quite a phenomenon.
Yes. And so I sat there for the next 3 hours, and so I had his ear for the next 3 hours, uninterrupted, whenever we went to a commercial break or the news break at the top of the hour, and he started peppering me with questions. He was a big fan of KMOX Radio because he grew up in Cape Girardeau, south of St. Louis.
And yeah,
so
Missouri.
He would listen to the Cardinal games on KMOX at night with Jack Buck and Harry Carey. And so he said, well, so tell me about Jack Buck. And tell me about your general manager, Robert Hyland, who passed away. He said, was he really a workaholic, and did he come in at 3 in the morning? I said, yeah. And he knew our lineup from top to bottom. He said, tell me about John McCormick, who was the man that walked and talked at midnight. And so he went through this whole litany. And we talked politics. We talked baseball. We talked what was in the news. And at one point, I remember asking him, Steve, I said, so, Rush, tell me, why do you think you're so successful? And he said, you know, Fred, it's because I figured out early on in my news talk career that I had to be an entertainer. And I had to be entertaining. Didn't matter what my political views were or what my take was on the news. I wasn't going to get anybody to listen unless I entertained them first. And so a lot of the bravado that you heard, you know, I can do this with one arm tied behind my back.
Sure, yeah.
I can do this with half a brain.
Talent on loan from God, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, yes. That was showbiz. You know, that was how he got your attention.
Yeah.
But off the air, he was very approachable, easy to talk to. And he said, as part of being an entertainer, I have to be bigger than life, but I also have to be approachable.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he resonated with the audience. But here's why I knew he was a once-in-a-generation talent. And I've worked with, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 Hall of Fame broadcasters in my career. I produced at that time the program that led into his. It was called The Morning Meeting. And so the first couple of weeks we brought Rush Limbaugh to the radio station. The first couple of weeks he was on the air at KMOX, which up until that time was live and local, all live and local, no syndication. So he was the first show to break that cultural phenomenon that was KMOX. And just to let you know, you'll understand this from a radio standpoint, we had a 25 share of the market, okay?
Jeez. So
that meant 1 in 4 listeners were listening to us in the St. Louis area.
Crazy.
So we were a big radio station. But I produced the show that led into Rush Limbaugh's show. And the first 2 weeks he was on the air, I got inundated with phone calls. And these were listeners, and they would say, I hate Rush Limbaugh. I don't know why your management ever brought him on the radio station. He's not one of us. I don't. He's a braggart. He's got all this bravado. I can't stand him. And I said, what is it that you don't like about him? And these people, God's honest truth, Steve, they would say, well, last Monday he said this, and on Tuesday he said that, and last Friday he said this. It's outrageous. And I would say to them, well, I thought you never listened to him.
Yeah, no
And
kidding.
Then they would hang up on me. So I kind of called him out on the air.
Yeah.
And that's what told me that he was a once-in-a-generation broadcaster, because even his detractors listened to him. You know, and I would guess 15 to 20% of his audience nationally couldn't stand him.
Oh, couldn't stand him. Yeah.
No. But they listen to him.
They just listen to him, and they keep coming back. One of the things that I learned listening to Rush over the years, number one being the entertainment thing, because you've been around Christian radio for longer than I have. Teaching and preaching programs, that's fine. But when you do live radio, if you're not entertaining and it's boring, forget it. I tune that out. Most people tune that out. So I learned that. I didn't know I was being trained to do radio. God did, but I didn't. And so listening to Rush Limbaugh, learning the value of entertainment, the other thing I learned from Rush is that I try to never talk about stuff unless I really want to talk about it. So if I can't lean into it, if I'm not interested in it, if it doesn't get my fire raging, then I'm not going to waste my time. And maybe four or five times a year, Fred, I walk away from the studio going, yeah, I mailed that one in. But almost all the time, I just remember Rush saying, that's one of his secrets. He only talks about what he wants to talk about, which is why I made so much fun out of Fridays.
He had great intellectual curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
It may only last 15 minutes at a time on any given topic, but he had great intellectual curiosity. So whatever he was talking about, he was very passionate about.
Yeah, that's right.
At that time. And that's not to say he was insincere. He's very sincere about his conservative thoughts and his conservative viewpoints. But you know, with Rush, he rode the wave of Reagan conservatism.
That's right.
To popularity.
Yep.
But what he really did is he set the table for Fox News and all the conservative websites out there.
That's right.
They followed Rush's lead.
That's
Roger
exactly
Ailes
right.
basically took talk radio, conservative talk radio, as defined by Rush Limbaugh, and he put it on television.
And that became Fox. Yeah, it's really you cannot quantify the man's overall impact, but praise the Lord, you and I both will see him in heaven one day. Fred Zelenko, familyvisionmedia.org. Thanks for calling in, buddy. I appreciate your perspective.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. All right, friends, we'll be right back after this. Some more thoughts on Rush. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Next Wednesday, a week from today, we will be live with Ann Graham Lotz. I plan to do that today, but Facebook jail put me in Facebook jail, so we wanted to reach as many people as we could when Ann Graham's on the show. And she hasn't been on since before her cancer diagnosis, which was over a year and a half ago or so. So we're going to talk about that journey. She's got a new Bible study coming out. She had a book that just came out. And just plowing the depths of her wisdom and knowledge as a follower of Christ. She's an incredible communicator. We've been friends. I met her through her husband, Danny, who's with the Lord now. Years and years, I've probably known Ann for, 15 years. And we have a great friendship, a good camaraderie. When she's with me on the radio, she's with a friendly audience. It's not secular stuff. She knows, we're on the same page. So she can kind of let her hair down, as it were. And we just have fun on the radio. And actually, the first time I did Facebook Live, she was in my studio when we used to be out at the campus of Southeastern Baptist Seminary. First time I did Facebook Live was with Ann Graham Lotz. And so I wanted to maximize how many people could hear that. So Facebook, whatever. We'll deal with your 24-hour ban, and we'll see what they do after that. I'll let you know. But wanted to maximize how many people could be blessed by that, so we pushed it off to next week. And then, of course, with Rush Limbaugh dying this morning. Just got to trust the Lord with all this stuff. Live radio, that's the way it goes. So if you don't want to roll with the punches and roll with different things going on and play a game that where you don't have a net underneath you, don't get into live radio. This was a statement by Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States. Came out earlier. The great Rush Limbaugh has passed away to a better place, free from physical pain and hostility. That's really a profound opening statement, isn't it? Free from physical pain and hostility. His honor, courage, strength, and loyalty will never be replaced. Rush was a patriot, a defender of liberty, and someone who believed in all of the greatness our country stands for. Rush was a friend to myself and millions of Americans, a guiding light with the ability to see the truth and paint vivid pictures over the airwaves. So important. Narrative. Tell a story. A lot of conservatives aren't good at that. Rush Limbaugh is excellent at that. Melania and I express our deepest condolences to his wonderful wife, Catherine, his family, and all of his dedicated fans. He will be missed greatly. We tried to play this clip for you earlier, but we got it figured out now. This was, I want you to hear this just from Rush himself, because I know I'll see him in heaven. I did not know that until this past year. He talked about it just briefly in October. I knew he believed in God. I've met his brother and had David Limbaugh on the show several times. Very, very strong, born-again Christian. But didn't know about Rush. But in October, he mentioned it on his show. And then this clip will play for you, which is a little over 2 minutes. He was on Fox and Friends on Election Day, November 3rd, 2020, when eventually he gets around to bringing up the thing that, as a Christian, that you really want to hear, is where does somebody stand? What do they believe about Jesus Christ? Not just God in general or Christianity, but the thing that really matters, the line that you have to cross, is what do you do with Jesus? So this was Rush Limbaugh talking to Fox and Friends on November 3rd.
I think that the way I look at it is life is the most precious thing we have, and it's probably the thing that most people just take for granted. We're busy. We don't even take time to consciously think of our lives because we're too busy living them. But I really appreciate mine now, I have to tell you, and I always have, but we all only get one. And we all have the opportunity starting out to make the most of it or whatever we want it to be. And we get a do-over every day. If we screw up one day, we get a chance to fix it the next day. And so, and we're Americans, which means we have the freedom to invest in whatever it is that makes us happy. That's in our founding documents. And so in my case, I'm grateful that I have been able to make it to Election Day. I'm grateful that I am still able to do my radio show. I'm grateful that I am still able to have meaningful conversation relationships with my family. I'm grateful for everything that happened. There's so much to be thankful for, especially when right in front of you is the prospect of it being taken away. And it just amps up the appreciation for all of the goodness that you have in your life. And for all the, we all have rotten things happen to us, and we all have unfortunate things. But I'll tell you, one thing I've learned is that there's good in everything that happens. It may not present itself for weeks, months, whatever, but there's good in everything that happens if you look for it. And
even an election that doesn't go in your favor?
Yeah, and I actually believe that you mentioned God. God is a profound factor. Jesus Christ, a profound factor. I have a personal relationship. I've not talked about it much publicly because I don't proselytize these things. But, I'm just trying to give thanks every day.
Okay, so just a reminder, again,
I have had a blessed life.
Let me just share this with you and encourage you and challenge you on this one, what just happened there. That was Rush Limbaugh talking to Fox and Friends the morning of the election on November 3rd. And she, I don't know if she was trying to tee it up or not, because plenty of people at Fox are believers. And, even if you lose an election, he's talking about all these things he's grateful for. You take life for granted. You got to really appreciate it. He's grateful. He's still able to do all this stuff. So much to be thankful for. He's just overflowing with thankfulness because he's faced with his expiration date. Like, that's that age-old question. If you could find out on what day in the future you would die, would you want to know? And then, of course, how would that affect the way you live between now and then? And for Rush Limbaugh, a year ago or so, he found out, generally, it's stage 4 cancer. You're not going to survive this. He's going to get the best medical attention available on the planet. And probably more individuals praying for him than perhaps any other person has been prayed for in the last 50 years. And so, short of a miracle, you're done. This will kill you. I hate cancer for a number of reasons. But then they set that up. Can you be grateful even if you lose an election? And she's talking to a man who's facing his expiration date. And like the election matters, it's important. But does it matter like forever? It doesn't. Conservatism, does it matter forever? It doesn't. Republicanism, it doesn't. The Declaration, the Constitution, the United States of America, a free market capitalism, free the First Amendment, free speech, the right to bear arms, the right to exercise your religion, the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, the right to a fair trial. Does that matter forever? It doesn't. It's all temporary. So when she sets up that question, that's when he comes to the thing that for me as a Christian, I've always wanted to hear him say. I've agreed with him on so many different political things. But I'm like, it's all for nothing in the end, eternally, if he doesn't know Jesus Christ. I appreciated him bringing up God. I appreciated him talking about being pro-life and abortion, and he was quite strong on that. But I always longed to hear those two words, Jesus Christ, not as an expletive, not as punctuation, but as a personal Lord and Savior. And that's what he said. He talked about God, and he talked about Jesus. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't talk about it on the air. He didn't want to proselytize. Didn't want to use his platform for that. But there it was. And back in, I think it was October, on the show, he said, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is of immense value, strength, confidence, and that's why I'm able to remain fully committed to the idea that what is supposed to happen will happen when it's meant to, which is the peace that surpasses all understanding when you're facing the expiration date of your life. So for a second, set aside Rush Limbaugh, and let's put you in front of an expiration date. And so the question is for you. If you died today, if tomorrow's your day, like today was Rush Limbaugh's day, how certain are you? What are the odds, if you want to do it that way, that you're going to go to heaven? I say, hey, you die tomorrow. Are you going to heaven? And if you say, I think so, or if you say, I hope so, then I'm telling you, friend, you don't know. You don't know, because the Bible doesn't say hope so. The Bible doesn't say think so. The Bible says know so. These things were written, says in 1 John, these things were written so that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, that's braggadocious. How can you possibly be so presumptuous to know? A lot of my Catholic friends have problems with that statement. I know I'm going to heaven. If I die today, if I don't make it into this radio show tomorrow, I know I'm going right to heaven. What? How can you say that? It's presumptuous. How can you presume on God's grace? I'm not presuming on anything. I'm taking him at his word. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Nicodemus asking Jesus in the middle of the night. Jesus says, he must be born again. What does that mean? Well, I was born physically. Nicodemus is like, what? I'm an old man. What do you think I'm going to pop back in, pop back out? No. Jesus said, no, I'm not born of the flesh, born of the spirit. Because when you're born in sin, and then you activate it yourself at whatever age that is for you, you're culpable for it. And you're separated. There's none righteous. No, not one. Not by works, lest any man should boast. That's what the Bible says. You can't work your way in. Not until you take all the eggs out of your basket of being a good person and trying to pay your taxes and going to church and believing in God and thinking the Bible has some good stuff in it. And Jesus seems like a great guy. You take all your eggs thinking about going to heaven. And you got to take every single one of them out of your basket because it's not your works. You cannot work your way. You can't give your way. You can't serve your way. You can't appease a holy, perfect God because you're a sinner. You mess up, and you've been messing up for years. And you just keep adding all that stuff together. There's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody measures up. The only way you get out of it, damnation, the only way is you got to put all your eggs in Jesus's basket, to which you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That's what Rush Limbaugh was talking about, my personal Lord and Savior. Jesus saved me. There's nothing I could do, so I put all my faith in him. He died for you. He took your punishment for you. He came out of the grave to prove absolute victory over death. And then he simply offers you that same miracle. But you have to admit you can't do it. You got to put all your faith in him. So when you get to the pearly gates, and like they like to say, St. Peter, hey, why should I let you in? I'm like, I got nothing. Where's Jesus? He's my way. He is the way. Is he your way? That's the question I have for you. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.